Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
We have begun to run.
Oh, do you know what? I've sweated into this underlayer, taken my jumper off and started running. I've never been so cold in my life.
Right.
Oh, my God.
You're a bit cold. Because you've run it. You've done a... Yeah, you've got a cosy two and a half.
Just a little two and a half.
But in the bank.
This is lovely. It's been a long time since you and I have just taken a turn around our local routes. And off we go up the park and walk. As we can see up ahead, it's going to be fine, isn't it?
Yeah, it should be fine. Shouldn't be a problem here.
No chance of it being closed.
Closed. Closed off. So we're just going to do a cosy little five. This is really... feels like my return to running in a way. Because I've been... I know we did one the other week with the Fireman lot, but I've been ill.
Yeah.
I haven't really run probably for a couple of weeks.
You've been ill pretty much for 3 weeks, I'd say, now.
Yeah, it's all a bit hard work. And I had to... go and do... This should be fine, though, this bit. This
will be fine.
Yeah.
No, you can just go around it.
Don't see any problems with this.
Oh, no!
What?
With Paul Tomkinson and Rob Deering.
Last week I had to... I did loads of gigs and loads of travelling.
Yeah.
You just never get a chance to properly get better, do you?
No, you don't.
I did 10 gigs last week.
Whoa!
So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, I was up north. Northeast doing the Cramlington, Blythe, Ashington, triple up.
Yeah.
Lovely people. And then I did the Manchester and Liverpool as well.
Yes, good. In the northwest.
And Liverpool was fine. A bit spitty.
Hey!
Bit too soon.
Who spits?
It's a bit spitty.
You know, people, grown-ups, who spits, really? I think spitting was ever a reasonable thing to do. I mean, I can't stand it when people spit on the ground. Imagine spitting at another person. This is the modern world.
Well, I spit. I do spit on the ground.
During sports?
I must say. Yeah, when I'm playing... When I'm running, I do.
I suppose that actually...
I will spit sometimes.
Running or doing football would get you in the habit.
But yeah, I mean, goodness. We're talking as if you didn't know. We're being topical.
Yeah, let's
We're immediately launching into a topical issue of the day.
And this news will be long gone by the time. Yes. So what's his name? Jamie Carragher?
It's Jamie Carragher.
Yeah.
He came off the back of a Manchester United-Liverpool football game, which is a very toxic local rivalry.
Oh, those guys are pretty relaxed about that up there, I've found.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. It's always good to wind the crowd up. If you're in Liverpool, to mention the game if United have won and vice versa.
It's a bit like when I was in Portsmouth.
The Portsmouth Southampton.
It's always nice to walk on stage and say, hello, Southampton.
They love that.
They love that.
Absolutely love that. And So Manchester United beat Liverpool at football. Carragher, famous ex-Liverpool player, Sky pundit on his way back home. Well, it's famous footage. You've seen it yourself, haven't
yes,
you?
Yes, I've seen it.
Have you actually seen the footage?
I've seen the freeze frame of, right. with the flob mid-air, which is a nicely taken. That's a Robin.
It's an awful image, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, initially I was of the ilk of... I hate to see people lose their jobs... Especially after kind of media-led witch hunt.
Yeah.
But then I was chatting to someone, and he said, you've just got to see the footage.
Yeah.
So I did. It's going to be hard for him to keep his job, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's funny though, because it's so high octane and it's all so male. You know, it's like, here's someone having a go at him and he's spitting. Yeah. And I was saying to you before we started recording, my timeline is just everyone on my timeline online is a man saying, hey, how about the guy driving on his phone with a kid in the back?
Yeah.
It's like, that doesn't make it all right.
Yeah,
that
means it's a lot of like, I know it's wrong to speak, but having said that, he shouldn't be filming him.
And also, how about forgiving him? It's like, he just said sorry like 10 minutes ago. Yeah. When are you going to forgive this guy?
No one comes out of it well, do they?
The problem is
that for Sky, because everyone's saying Carragher's a really good pundit, yeah. And I love football, and he is a good pundit,
yeah.
But it's really bad optics, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
It's just really bad, right? That people are going to be looking at him thinking of the bloke spitting at strangers.
Yes, and ultimately...
It's a really gross thing to do.
Absolute moral maze, and I'm not saying anything about it. People do make the connection with it being okay to do things much worse than that. You know?
Yes, yeah.
In football, there is a culture. There will always be a demographic who says that can make anyone the victim.
Yeah.
So, you know, so when you behave badly, you set a terrible example.
Yes, yeah. And it's also that thing of... it reveals... But he's a spitter.
Gosh, she's going fast.
She's going really fast.
Yeah, that's right. Like, that's like
he's not just...
Like when Suarez was a biter.
That is a shame we couldn't have got a photo of her. She had a really low arm carriage. And
she
really
had her hands kind of in front of her
and
thumb.
And a really quick scuttle, didn't
she? Looked like Jason Bourne when he goes up into the trees avoiding getting shot by Clive Owen. But the reason his hands are low is because he's carrying the old hunting rifle.
Yes.
She had her hands like that.
She seems to be hands-free, but she was running with an urgency that was could be described as Jason Bourne.
Yeah, what I'm saying is I think she's Treadstone.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was Russia, and even if it was, I think they were well within their rights. I don't really, I just... But to keep myself safe.
So the Carragher thing, it's one thing to spit on the ground, but when you're revealed as someone who spits at other people...
Yes.
That's just a bit grubby, isn't it?
It's not reasonable
behaviour. So it's not good for your character, is it? It doesn't reveal good things.
And you can't think to yourself, I'm sure that's the first time he's ever done that in his life.
No, it's probably the first... Because he seemed to do it so reflexively.
Yeah, yeah.
It seemed to be like, all right, there, wind them with an elf. He didn't seem to think about it much. It was just like something that he does.
That thing of someone off the telly losing their job and being derided as well is you don't want to end up in that situation where you imply that everybody does it, just don't get caught, you know?
Yes, yeah.
Because everybody doesn't do that.
Yeah. And if a bloke who worked at Safeways was getting grief from someone about their supermarket.
Maybe in one of the aisles.
Yeah. Or even after work. Say he's on his way back home from work.
Yeah.
As Carragher was.
Yeah.
And then just spat at someone. He'd lose his job,
It'd
wouldn't
be reasonable for him to lose their job.
Yeah.
It's abuse. But we'll see what happens. Physical abuse.
He's been suspended. And they're having to think about it. But I can't see any other result than he
How
loses
How about suspending
job.
Him in an actual cage? Like from a high tree.
Yes.
I mean, the whole thing is a bit kind of medieval anyways.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is.
What you need to do is shift over on Sky to the darts.
Yeah.
And watch our friend Dave Clark, Parkinson's UK's champion of walking.
All right, yeah. What's he doing with the darts?
You know, he's got early onset Parkinson's, and he walked the coast-to-coast walk.
Wow.
I think the year before last now, which is a big walk for anyone, but a bigger walk for him. And he's doing another big walk in September, and I saw him the other day. Just that talk of Sky made me think,
yeah.
You know, highs and lows.
Yes.
I don't think he's going to be spitting at anyone.
No. No, but old... he's been suspended. We'll see what happens. You do have to ask questions of the dad filming whilst driving.
Oh, yeah.
It is a bit
bizarre. Oh, it's definitely a two wrongs.
Totally. And also, then you look at it closer, you realise Carragher's not wearing a seatbelt.
What?
There you go, mate. Have you not seen that one?
That's the clincher.
Yeah. He should be barred from public life.
As the recording on Dodgem's at Fairgrounds says, children must wear seatbelts.
Yeah. Scream.
You need a ticket to ride.
That reminds me of last night. I went for a meal.
Oh, that's so harsh. Emile's a good guy.
No,
did you spit him?
Yeah. I just saw him. All right, la. Tim Vine bought this meal at auction in the post office tower.
Nice.
The revolving...
The formerly revolving restaurant.
Yes.
It doesn't revolve now, does it?
It does revolve.
It does?
Yeah, it does revolve,
That's
yeah.
great.
It started revolving during dessert, intentionally.
I was going to say.
Yeah. But the best line, of course, all the comics were...
Look at this blossom. Cherry blossom in the foot. In fact, I was going to get that, but there's an even better one there. Look nice. At that. That's spring, all right.
All the comics were, of course, looking for lines... to, you know, about the revolving.
All the comics, who were these comics?
John Arch was there, Tim Vine,
yeah.
Terry Olderton,
yeah.
Ricky Grover,
yeah.
and various other, Milton Jones,
yeah.
various other show busy types. Obviously not high end.
Time's up, though. Any women?
No women.
No women.
No women, men only.
Time's up, Paul.
Men only. But the best line was John Arch, who said, scream if you want to have pasta. Which
nice.
Was quite a nice line.
Good.
Because it was a bit like a fairground. Quite yeah, bizarre yeah. to be eating whilst revolving at the same time.
It's so brilliant. It's one of those things which younger people just wouldn't understand because it's fantastic, exciting technology from like the 70s.
Yeah.
Like kind of hovercrafts.
Yes. Yeah.
And Concorde and Judith Hahn.
Yeah. It was quite nice when it stopped revolving.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a lovely occasion, actually.
Also makes you think of the end of On Her Majesty's Secret Service. Great film.
So how's your running been going, mate?
Well, it's been all right. I did... On Saturday...
Yes.
I was going to do a 16, including the park run. And that's coming in 2 weeks after Bath half.
Yes.
Brighton half.
Brighton half, yes.
Ah!
Yeah.
Brighton half. And 1 week after the missed, cancelled Bath half. But I did do 14 miles the next day just to keep the miles up.
I noticed that you prefaced this sequence of chat with the phrase, I was going to.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, it's an old yeah. it's an old record now, but... I drove to my gig on Friday, which I don't really do anymore.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking of you doing all those gigs and trying to get better. Oh, my goodness. I was tired anyway from the week.
Yes.
Yeah, kids didn't have to get up early. And I'm getting my mileage up, you know.
Yeah.
And I drove to this gig in Portsmouth in my drive now. You know, I didn't book a rental car.
Okay.
Just got in one and took it from London. Realised as I did it that there's a mileage limit on that. So,
really?
Once I've gone over 60 miles, I was paying like 30p a mile.
Right.
In the end, I did turn a profit on the gig.
That's going to smart.
But you can still argue.
That's going to smart.
Going
though, isn't
there
it?
Was a waste of time.
Yeah, that is going to smart.
It doesn't help that, as you may or may not know, wages in comedy never go up.
No. I'm
so
very aware.
So, despite getting
that.
The biggest fee you can get at that gig, it's still exactly the same money as it would have been 10 years ago. Yeah. Anyway, I drove back. Oh, my goodness. It was a lovely gig, don't get me wrong.
Good, good.
And then back from Portsmouth. And, you know...
So that's about, what, 2 hours, 2.5 maybe?
Yeah, it's 160 miles round trip.
Yeah.
And much quicker on the way
back. But at that
back.
Time, that, on the way out, is a real nightmare.
Yeah,
isn't
it took forever. Although,
yeah.
great radio. Oh,
what
Stephen
Mack's
Friday Free For All.
Oh, like it.
That's
okay.
just right up early. Every record's good, and it's so diverse.
Yes.
You know, played like... Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong, and then
nice, like it.
Rush,
yeah,
and then some pop hit. What was it? Oh, Michael Jackson.
Good for you. I tend to go chatty radio. I tend to go Eddie Mair, Radio 4, 5 till 6.
Yeah.
I tend to like a bit of chat. But
and then I got stuck in traffic and I was, the car was stopped, it was the electric car was off, and I was talking to John Holmes. Off the radio,
yeah.
who I met last week, and he was saying, when we met, why didn't we talk about Rush?
Yeah.
So, you know, it was all very positive.
Did you do any spitting in the car? Oh, were you okay? Did anyone goad you?
No, you see, I would never, literally never flop at
all right, lad. No worries.
When I went out to the country, I moved to the country from London, I remember a guy started bullying me on the bus, and it was that kind of thing of, oh, my God, this is it. This is someone actually bullying me.
Yeah.
And that guy...
is now no longer with us.
Andrew Bell. But he was such an ass, you know what I mean? I remember even at the time, he was like a fictional bully. It's like a bully in Dickens.
Right.
The kind of bully who falls over and makes an idiot of themselves without you doing anything, you know?
Yes.
But I remember him spitting on me.
Wow.
And he was a very low quality individual.
Awful. Yeah,
really
it's
bad
awful.
Man.
Yeah.
You know, later that day, I think that's true. Oh my God, it's the same day. You remember me getting hit in the under the sternum by the amateur boxer?
Yes.
See, that's a proper bad guy. He had me down. This spitty bloke was a goon. Anyway,
you're painting a picture of a lot of abuse at school. That's just one day.
It was just that one day.
Right, okay.
It was good the rest of the time.
Right. The worst day of your school life.
Yeah.
The spitting.
Well, having said that, it was a nice lunch that day. But yeah, so I got to Portsmouth and I was just broken. This is like before the gig.
Yeah.
Sitting in the dressing room, keeping our friend Dinger, who's a keen runner, saying how he'd been talking to you and getting some good running doing down there.
Dinger,
the host at the Wedgwood Rooms.
Oh, yes, what a lovely fellow he is.
He's a lovely fellow.
Yeah, really nice. Post really into his runner. Yeah.
Comedy compere, an all-round good guy.
Yeah.
And, good runner. We're catching up with him. But anyway, I'm going on and on.
The driving really takes it out of you.
Yeah. I got home that night. I was coming through Parliament Square. I'm just thinking, I can't stay awake.
Yeah.
It was only about 1:30 in the morning when I got back, but I just thought, this is physically, it'd be unwise to set the alarm. Here's me, I was standing up running out at 7:30 to get 10 miles in ahead of Hackney Marshes Park Run.
It becomes dangerous.
That's right.
Yeah.
And also physically bad training, you know, you need to sleep too. Of course, I didn't set the alarm. And I didn't run to the park run.
Yeah.
But I did run 16 miles.
Well, that's great, mate.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean,
quite a good pace as well.
I mean, I think how much driving I did last week, I did about probably over 20 hours driving.
Yeah.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
You feel it in your muscles.
That's
you feel
right. I mean, it hurts, you know.
Hello, mate. Hey. Oh, cheers, mate. Thank you. That's very kind.
He said, love your work.
That's really nice.
Yeah, that'll do us. Thank you, friend. We'll take that with us for the rest of the day. I was just going to say that. No, that's the other thing about the driving, is it physically hurts, you know.
Yeah.
You sit in traffic for ages.
Yeah.
Your knees and legs and ankles are really good.
Yeah, my right quad was hurting, and I think, is that because I haven't ran or stretched?
Listen to this bird. It's blooming spring like you won't believe, isn't it?
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Morning, magpie. Sorry, your quads hurt.
Yeah, I was thinking I'm not stretching. And it's just because I've been driving.
Yeah.
Just driving so much.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this is what you need, isn't it? You need to run in the woods.
But I was just going to say, how do you feel? But even before I ask how you feel, maybe I'm just imagining it, but I feel like you got your mojo back at last.
Well, you know? I'm feeling physically a little bit better. I mean, I've still got a slight chesty cough.
Yeah.
But nothing too much. And I'm so bored with it.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got to start running again.
Which is kind of part of the process, isn't it?
Yeah, but there's nothing more restorative than a run in the woods, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
It just really chills you out, doesn't it?
That's right.
You can feel yourself getting better.
Yeah, well, it's good to have you back.
No, it is, but I'm pleased. But I'm going to have to take it very gradual and see if I can do London.
Well, I was talking to Francis Quinn, who is very much our online friend, and we've been trying to
snare her for ages.
Cursed in terms of getting out for a run with her.
Right.
But, you know, meanwhile, we've started a kind of, it's like 84 Charing Cross Road. We've got a lovely kind of epistolary chat going on about training and life and so on.
That's
and
nice.
She's injured.
Right.
And that's why we're not running with her this week. And she was just finding out, I don't know yet what the result is, but, you know, whether she can, she'd had a sort of like 2 weeks off under the doctor.
Right.
And had to come back and see if she'll be back on, ready to get back. And it's that moment, isn't it, for London? I was saying, I mean, even though I don't know what I'm talking about, but it just feels like just exactly the moment where you can recover for London from here.
Yes.
As long as
nothing else goes wrong. Yes, yeah.
And that's right where you're at, isn't it?
It is, yeah. I mean, if you compare it to this time last year when I was doing more training than I've ever done.
Me and you are kind of like tall and Dean here. It's very slippery.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
We're flapping our arms around and hoping for the best. And staying up. So, yeah, you were less time last year.
Yeah, I was running 50, 55 miles a week, three speed sessions a week, long runs.
Yeah.
Getting PBs for 5 miles and whatever. Yeah. And now I'm just, it feels like I'm sort of semi-starting again or something. It just means, because I wasn't fit before I got I got ill, and then I got ill.
Yeah, yeah.
I just feel really whacked out.
You're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And it's
so I'm going to have to take it really gradually. The good thing is, 3:45 for me should be easy-ish, but having said that, I've still got to run for 3:45.
Yes.
That's not an easy thing
to do. And you've got to ideally do it well.
I've got to feel comfy doing it.
Run off as fast as you can, then stop and then stroll the rest.
I can't be hanging on.
No, no.
I can't be getting really, really tired. I'm meant to inspire others. I don't want to dishearten. Do you know what I mean? I can't be crashing into the wall.
Are you kind of basically on non-mileage at the moment?
Yeah, totally. I've done nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to have to run for the next few weeks and make a decision from there. Really.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we don't have to make any decisions now, but I'm getting to, you know, I'm doing some long runs.
Yeah.
We were talking about doing one. You should assess how long a long run you want to do.
Yes.
And go out and do one together somewhere nice and see how it pans out.
So you're up to about 60 miles for your marathon prep.
I definitely want to do.
How did that feel?
Well, it's funny you should say about getting your mileage up, because it was good. I went out at a very steady pace, slower than my fastest,
right?
But not as slow as we're running now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it felt good, and I felt in control of it. And then I faded really seriously, and I was really aware of it.
Right.
Over the last three, and I just think that it just seemed to factor directly into what was the furthest I'd run before, you know?
Right.
So everybody says, what, even further?
Yes, yeah.
It gave a real psychological invitation to getting a long run in before a marathon. But also, the things I didn't do were, I didn't go slow pace myself and then do a park run,
yeah,
which I do want to do. I didn't eat anything.
What, before the run?
Before the run.
That's good training, but obviously makes it a lot harder.
Yeah, it gives you something in the tank.
Yes.
Not in the tank, something in the schedule for next time.
Yeah.
I basically did it on two cups of coffee.
Right.
And felt good, you know.
Yeah.
And knew when I was starting to run out of fuel, which is good awareness. Also, I wanted to try gel.
And did you?
No, I didn't get a chance to get one.
Right, okay.
And I want to use specific ones because the last one I had was horrible.
Right.
So, but I'm definitely going to train with my gels.
Yeah, I think that's a really good idea.
So in terms of what I've got for next time I run that far is fuel.
Yeah.
Managing my fuel. And,
tell me this, because it's been a while since I've run a long way. There's a sort of feeling that because you've done it so many times in the past,
yeah,
your body will just click into it. But it's obviously still really hard.
Yeah, when you
just
don't do it.
Just because you ran, like, you know, 20 odd miles, like, you know, 8 months ago.
Yeah, yeah, that's
doesn't
right.
mean you could just fall into it now and remember.
I also
it's
think
obviously
it's the
difficult.
Nature of memory. I think
right.
unless you actually talk about your tough runs, where you bowed out and how difficult it got, you kind of automatically, naturally forget.
Yeah.
And think, yeah, I'll be able to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the nature of planning, is to plan with simplicity and optimism. That's
yes.
how ambition works, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it just falls away.
Although you'd be wise in the marathon to prepare for really difficult psychological moments.
Yeah.
And how that's going to feel and little tactics to get through them.
That's right.
Because it's inevitable for most people that yeah. at some stage you're going to feel absolutely busted.
And the next step from that is to do that with a level head.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
don't
to plan
panic.
Like a scientist. Don't think, yeah. oh God, it's going to be hard. What am I going to do?
Yeah.
Because that doesn't help anyone.
Just assume difficulty.
Yeah. And work towards it.
Yeah.
No, exactly. And that was why I felt good about that. I was annoyed with that fade because I was very aware of it, you know.
Right.
I was kind of thinking, come on, step on, you're nearly home now. Why don't you do it fast, you know?
Why aren't you running faster, Rob? Because I'm tired!
But ultimately, and I think this is something we got deeply into maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And listeners really enjoyed, is getting out there with those two voices in your head.
Yeah.
You know? It was great for me because I was running from home. There's plenty of running to be had around our way, and we know where it all is.
Yeah.
I had a vague idea where I was going.
Right.
But as I went out, I thought, oh no, I could go the other way. So I'm improvising this run.
Right.
But not dog run. I knew where
vaguely
how
where
far everything is and where I was going, sort of.
Yeah.
But I'm making up where I'm going to go next, you know? Like building a kind of jigsaw.
Yes.
And that's just great for your psychology. Because then, in my head, I was totally thinking, oh, God, I can't believe I've only gone that far. But then the other voice in my head was saying, yeah, but you're going to do 16 today.
Yes.
So turn right here.
Yeah,
and then, like, it's almost like the real me is going, oh, do I have to? Even though it's me saying, yeah.
Yes, you little do. Little test with yourself. Yeah.
And the other thing about that is, and that's great psychology, and again, like kind of going out without the proper fuel, like you shouldn't really do it, but it's good to part
of the
train.
Make things difficult.
Yeah, yes. And of course, on the day, or on the day of any big run, you know where you're going. You know, it's not something you have to worry about.
Yeah.
But the psychology of improvising a route is good for you.
It's that simplicity of the more discomfort you feel in training, the less you'll feel on the day, isn't it?
Yes.
You get making difficult decisions when training is
something you're not going to have to bother with.
It's just good tactics, you know. Right.
And the other thing is running places you know. I got to where the park run would have been, laughing at myself, arriving about 4 hours late for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Morning, everyone! Let's go!
And a round of applause for Rob, who's 4 hours late!
Any newcomers?
Yes, yeah.
Any latecomers? No one bit the barcode, I was gutted. But as I got there, I was kind of near the beginning of one of my regular runs.
Right.
And I just caught myself thinking, oh, good, nearly home.
Yeah.
You know, and that nearly was 6 miles.
Yeah,
wow. And if you can get to the point in training where you're thinking
nearly
6 home
miles
is nothing,
yeah, that's a good
you've done
to
something,
be
yeah. You know. It didn't last.
No, because 3 miles later, you're an absolute mess. Can we veer off slightly into a not ungracious observation on the wonderful parkrun phenomena? Note the caveat. How wonderful it is.
Yeah, go on.
I was in Manchester the other week doing the parkrun.
I'm really excited.
It was freezing.
Yeah.
Waiting to start.
Yeah.
The pre-event speech went on for about 10 minutes.
Ah.
And it was all fine and stuff, but the people were getting rounds of applause for their first part run, their 10th, their 20th.
Yeah.
It's just like, when does this end?
Yeah,
we've got people from out of town, Ray, people from different countries. It was just like this huge, wonderfully warm-spirited applause festival.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, it's barely... We might be in the minus temperatures here. I can't wait to start running as quickly as possible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
just sometimes. It's his first one. He's 10 years old.
Yeah. I think also doing loads and loads of parkruns. Again, absolutely. If you've done 25 or 50 or 100 parkruns, congratulations.
Good on you. Yeah, absolutely.
Go to it. But equally, if it's not a race, then it shouldn't be a race to how many parkruns you've done either.
Yeah, yeah, so it's a bit weird, yeah.
But I suppose if you're clapping, that's why you have to be democratic in the celebration of all comers.
It's Jeff's 7th parkrun. Yeah. He's come here, he lives 5 miles away.
And while we're talking about things, how about that midday parkrun? Come on.
Yeah.
Comedians are really missing out. So, but I got some... You know, I did share that situation with online, and then we had a bit of a forum, because of course there's loads of people getting up to mileage now, because it's half marathon season has started.
Yeah.
People are training for marathons, training for ultras, and it's a funny thing, you know, like you're saying, you know, it's very easy in the diary to put in 17, 18, 20 miles.
Yes, yeah.
And even be fit enough to do it, still doing it.
It's still really hard work, yeah.
And you get, and like, I was thinking today, I did that 16 on Saturday. Yeah, it's Saturday, right? So my kind of calendar resets. I'm going to take a short break.
Yeah, yeah, go.
On the Saturday night.
Yeah.
So I've done no miles this week, right?
Yes.
And in real terms, I haven't run for 3 days.
Yeah.
And I really want to get the mileage up this week.
So you're going to
guess whether I'm over Saturday or not. I'm not.
Yeah.
It's hurting.
Yes, yeah.
60
yeah.
miles at 45 3 days ago.
Yes, yeah.
You're going to know
it. He stays with you, yeah, yeah.
So you've got to work out, you know, where you're at with the running. But the other thing is, you were that ill when we went to Bath. You said that it stopped you drinking. Have you been able to start that again?
You'll be pleased to know I'm back on track.
Yeah, look, do a drinking face.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm back on track with ill.
We got some banter the other day. The other day we were getting a... You know, you can't be hungover if you drink every day. Basically, we were being characterised as alcoholics on Twitter.
You're sort of lush, running luscious.
It smarted a little as but I haven't taken a drink this year.
Yeah, you've been incredible.
That was you just got me. Look at that.
Oh, mate. Sorry.
Oh, you squidged me.
Sorry about
that. You squidged me so bad. I've got to get a picture.
Was that subconscious? Was it?
Every time. Oh, that's me. Every time I get home after a proper muddy run, I always love the backs of my legs, you know, when they're really, really
coated.
Makes you
feel dramatic.
It's just, it's a badge of honour, isn't it?
Maybe that was my subconscious annoyance at your sobriety.
Yeah, that's right.
The daring, you want a temperance
drink?
Society.
Drink this! Squelch.
So you must be feeling fantastic not drinking for that length of time.
I tell you, I do, it does. I mean, I think that it's got normal.
Yeah.
And also that thing of getting up in the morning is, I think it's that same old thing. It always feels like when you're sleeping well, getting up in the morning is harder rather than easier because you're deeper down.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So,
but you, you know, but I mean, so that means you're well rested. That can be a thing when you're training so hard for the marathon. Sometimes you get too tired to sleep properly.
Yeah, that's true.
You've got to be aware with that one when you're training.
Tired legs, for example.
Yes, your legs hurt at night.
Yeah, lying in bed with your legs sitting there going, no!
Yeah.
Yeah. But also, it's easier. It is easier to hydrate when you don't drink alcohol all the time.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and that's that makes you. Thank you, dog. That's the sweetest dog I've ever seen.
These little dogs.
Let's take a picture of this dog. Just got out of our way. So nice. He's gone now. Anyway.
Oh, he's gone off.
He's gone.
Beautiful dog.
He's definitely shy.
Yeah.
He just went like just so polite. She went.
Is she a rescue dog? Is she? Oh, Romanian rescues. Oh. Right. Yay. Are they really?
They're so sweet, that little one there.
We nearly got one recently, Romanian rescue, but we got one from a rescue from Tottenham. So not quite as far away as, bless them. But they get really abused, though, don't they? Oh my goodness.
Oh, mate.
Oh my goodness.
Hey.
Awful.
Oh, it's okay.
Don't be scared.
It's all right, mate.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I'll leave you be.
They do have a tough time, don't they, in Romania? Good for you. Take care, love. See you later.
Have a good day, dogs. Oh, that was a sweet dog. I set it off. It was obviously, it's that funny thing. What's the analogy with humans? Because what I saw as extreme politeness in that dog was just fear.
Absolute fear, yeah. Well, he's a Romanian rescue. He'd been tied up and left to starve.
Yeah, God.
That's not very nice.
It's a beautiful little dog. It's sort of black and tawny. And he just sort of stepped over the side of the path and gave me a look as if to say, on you go.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah,
story.
We got a cockapoo from Tottenham.
Yeah, how's your dog coming along?
She's all right. She's settling down, and I've got a bit more energy to give to her. She's actually really sweet, and everyone's completely in love with her.
Yeah, yeah.
She's completely revolutionised the house. Everyone's just geared around her now.
Oh,
she's reinvigorated old Calypso.
Yeah.
So Calypso's got over It's got over the death of Dashi.
Yeah.
And
you?
We're absolutely crazy about her. Yeah. I mean, Dashi. We always get emotional about her.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I don't want to get too. I'm not going to get too deep about it, but I found it really, really difficult being with her at the end at the vets.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know I had to be.
It was the right thing.
But it was just so distressing knowing that she wasn't going to come back from the vets.
Yeah, yeah.
Holding her, literally holding her, I could feel the pulse of life go.
Oh, gosh.
I could feel it. It was a tangible current.
Yeah.
I found that really difficult.
You're going to take that with
you. I found it really difficult, yeah. Because I really loved her.
Well, I think that contributes to you not being well recently, you know.
Maybe, it's I don't know.
These
maybe.
Things knock you back.
Yeah, it really did, though. It really hit me for six.
Yeah. But well, what's the new one called again?
His to Billy.
Go on, Billy.
Yeah.
Come on, Billy.
Come on, Billy.
Come on, dog.
Originally it was Billy Jean, but I think Billy seems to be the
right.
Seems to be the moniker that's stuck.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
So how have your gigs been, mate? Have you been all right?
Yeah, that one in Portsmouth is lovely. It's always a treat.
Yeah.
I did one in Orpington on Saturday. It was good too.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I did. Maybe it's because I was tired. I did loads of gigs this week.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, I thought, I've either got to write a completely new set or retire.
Yeah, sick of your jokes.
Yeah, it was that sort of weekend. It was like,
hey, listen, I'm going to use this. I'm using this. I'm doing
it. I'll go for it. Oh, this is good.
Are you going
to
do it?
This is dramatic. Yeah. Do you want me to take a...
It's pretty muddy.
Yeah.
So I'm
going... This is tough mother stuff. This is real adventure.
This is not going to help my PB.
This is real adventure.
Oh, my God. I did this once in Finland. It was actually a very straight tree, but all sort of round and shiny like this one, across a rocky ravine.
That is incredibly dangerous.
And as I was going across it, I thought, I can't not fall off it.
If you fell off that, mate, you'd fall at least a foot into soft mud.
I know, this it'd be like a nightmare.
This is pretty tricky.
Do you want to throw me the phone?
No. I mean, having said that, I doubt I'll be able to do it.
It's not easy. Oh, it is easy. You made it look much easier than it felt to me. Get you up there.
So yeah, I think it was
I didn't get you up there. So can you fake it up? Just give me a pose of someone about to fall off a log. I'm in danger. And that's perfect. Really good. All right, Mikhail Baryshnikov.
Yeah, I think I.
Sorry.
The great thing about stand-up is that it always tells you as a performer what you need to know.
Yes.
And it told me this weekend that I really need to write some new jokes.
Because I remember we were on this exact spot a few months ago, and you were saying you'd been in a situation where you'd been really stretched. You were at some gig where you had to go really slow.
Yes.
And it just changed everything.
Yeah, that was really nice. I mean, I can still react to different circumstances and improvise and stuff. I just need to be talking about different stuff.
But I reached the
end of this.
Well, that's good to know. You've got to take that flag and not forget.
Yeah.
But it's also, I always feel bad saying this because it just sounds like an excuse, but I don't think it is. I think that when one has been doing stand-up for a little while, and also when you've got a good set that works,
yes,
that new stuff is tough. Because the stuff you've got is so road tested.
It's so good.
It's like if you've got one sort of working, purring engine for a car, and you've got to build another one from scratch.
And you can do it at various paces in different orders.
Find different things
within it. It undoubtedly works. But it was just... I just need to... Maybe I was just lacking energy because I was absolutely exhausted.
Well, I was going to say, I think it's just a signifier, isn't it? It's not true. You'll be out in another week or two and you'll have a great time doing exactly the same stuff. But while you're thinking it, take the energy and run with it.
My son's working at the Comedy Store bar now in Manchester which makes it even more pronounced, the idea that he might pop in and have a look.
Yeah.
I want to be doing better than this. Do you know what I mean? He's behind the bar, I'm on stage.
You're doing jokes about him.
Well, yeah, I'm doing jokes about him and it needs to just get a bit funnier.
Yeah, I mean, I saw you in Bath and you were smashing it. So.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But
it's all relative, isn't it?
You also do have to say it to yourself, because when it comes down to it, we can go out and find another audience and another audience. It's not like Michael. He's going out there and all his millions of fans have seen his jokes.
Yes.
He's got to write another hour.
Yeah.
We're
constantly hitting new crowds.
Yeah, that's right. They want to hear the jokes that are going to
work. They want to hear our best stuff.
So, how was Mother's Day at Tonkinson's house?
It got better. It got better. I did put something on Facebook saying... Well, it reached a stage at 3 PM when Rachel hadn't had anything from any of the kids where she had to text George, the eldest, wishing him a happy Mother's Day. Slightly passive-aggressive, but definitely called for. I had booked her a table at a restaurant.
Well done.
So we went out for a lovely meal. How about your... And Bonnie bought her a massage, actually, as well. Something like Rudy did absolutely
didn't
nothing.
Send her a massage.
The boys did nothing. How about your...
He does nothing. The boy does nothing.
How about your house?
Well, it was really nice. Turn around. And that was difficult for me. You did it by arm signal and I did not comprehend.
Julie
really
woke
nice. She went out to work for a bit, just for a little while in the morning.
On Sunday morning?
Yeah, and she's working at a new gallery she hasn't worked at before, so she's quite... Because she works at different museums and galleries.
Right.
And so that's quite exciting. And even when we went to see her, she said, sorry, I got my work head on. So it's a different direction, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a really nice Sunday and all there. She let us... I got up and did her a nice breakfast.
Oh, that's nice.
But then the kids turned up too. I thought they were going to still be asleep, but they rolled on down.
Oh,
so I got everyone breakfast. They didn't do much, though.
Did they not?
It was funny, because...
I thought they'd really come through your kids.
But, I just got a whiff of it on the horizon.
Right.
You know? I said to them, when I went out to work on Saturday, I said, do your mum a nice picture.
Yes.
And or make her a card. And, Daisy had done it. She did a really nice picture.
Right.
And she put together, like, a little kind of gift from stuff she had.
Yeah.
But it was thoughtful and really nice. But he hadn't.
Yeah.
He didn't do anything.
Yeah.
He'd been talking about it for days. It's like, if you don't do it, it won't happen.
Yes, yeah.
But then, we went to London. It was so great. We met around Trafalgar Square. And then went down across the river. And we ended up... This sort of jumping special occasions, but we ended up talking about when we got married, which is all down there.
Nice.
And telling the kids about it, my daughter.
Kids love stories.
Yeah.
Of your history, though.
Which is great, isn't it?
Of how you met and what happened.
Yeah,
they're fascinating, aren't they?
Yeah. And that's weird, isn't it? Because when you look back to when you look back to those times and the kids aren't there, they get put some a completely different spin on them.
Yeah.
But, we just love London.
Yes.
Very touristy in London. We went to the Royal Festival Hall, where it was the Women of the World Festival.
Nice.
It's fantastically right on.
Yes.
We saw the beginning of a funny women gig. I didn't recognise the host.
Right.
But she was doing great.
Yeah.
We were going to watch it, but you had to actually have a ticket. But you could stand around the back watching.
Yeah.
And I just thought, from a comedian's point of view, no matter how positive this gig is, it's going to be tough.
That's going to be tough.
Hundreds of people beyond the audience milling around.
Yeah, yeah, that's really tough.
I kind of wanted.
Come on, women, get this
to
together.
Yeah. So that I could go, oh, look, there's my friend having a bad time.
Yeah.
Because that's all we really want to see as comedians.
Yes.
But then,
you know what that needed, though? It needed a bloke to sort it out, didn't it?
Even in jest, Paul.
Yeah. look at this. Look at these fellas.
Hello.
Hiya.
Sorry, we've had that stare at us now.
A lot of dogs in Highgate.
Do you know, I think the dogs are feeling the spring.
Yeah.
They got a little spring in their step. Either that or pure terror of humans. Somewhere between the two.
I've seen a few films recently. I've watched a few films.
And we went to Mildred's.
Pardon?
And we went to Mildred's.
All right, yeah.
Which Mildred's, you don't have to book, you see. That's
Mildred's is, where's Mildred's?
There's a couple of them. Camden.
Right.
King's Cross and Soho.
Right.
One in Soho's been there forever.
Yes,
we
I
like
think
the King's
that's
Cross
one.
Yeah. Very nice.
Nice.
That's all. And you don't have to book, see, so I just timed it right so that we get a table, because you can't book.
What a perfect day in London.
And you still look around and see all the other families and all the other groupings.
Yeah.
All the other, like I saw these two teenage stroke grown-up girls and this bloke just saying hello to each other, and it's like, where's the mum?
Yeah.
Come on. And she kind of appeared from behind a post.
Nice, nice, yeah.
So, yeah.
It's great to have a day for the mums.
Good old Mother's Day.
Did you do anything for your dear old mum?
Yeah, we saw her. We actually came to see Oliver at the end of last week.
Right.
And then we were going to see her on Saturday as well. And we said, well, we've seen you now. So.
Right.
And the kids are going away for the next week. So.
Cool.
Yeah, she got mothered as well.
Good.
And, sorry, you've watched a lot of films recently.
Yeah, I was just, well, it's just rare for me to get the chance. I saw Lady Bird.
How is it?
It's a great film.
Yeah.
I mean, continuing the womanly theme, it's a very feminine movie about mothers and daughters, really.
Good, good.
Fantastic, really. Just lovely.
Here's
lovely,
the thing.
Lovely film.
How important, how surprising, supposedly, is the bit where she just gets out of the car? Is that a key moment?
It's... What, are you, have you just seen the trailer here?
I've just seen that clip.
Right.
Over a billion times.
Yeah. It is a... It's. I suppose it's the first plot point.
Yeah.
It's plot point one.
Well, at least it's early.
It's when you realise that she's going to rebel.
Yeah,
and that there's a big problem with the mother-daughter relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
She finds it restrictive. Yeah. And she'll do anything to discover who she is.
Right.
It's shocking. But yeah. It's not really what the film's like.
Right, right.
It's got, that's the most shocking thing that happens in
it. I suppose
it, really,
it's because of action-wise. Shorthand.
Yes, it's like, I'm not going to take this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's brilliant. The mother-daughter relationship's beautiful, isn't it?
Tadpole time. Are there any? Not a one.
Tadpole watch.
No tadpoles.
Nothing.
At all. As you clearly see in the shadow of that tree. She's brilliant, Laurie Metcalf, isn't she, the mum?
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She's always been good. She's a Steppenwolf actor, like with Gary Sinise and John Malkovich and who died recently? John Mahoney.
Right.
And,
you could tell she had chops.
Yeah,
she's great. She's a great actress.
And, still mainly known as Roseanne's sister.
Right.
So it's always nice to see her dusting off the skills.
Yeah.
Oh, and Sheldon. Is she Sheldon's mum in Big Bang Theory? Yes, she
right.
is. So, yeah, nice to see her doing some proper acting.
Great movie. And then I saw Late Night... You're Not Really Here, or maybe it's called I'm Not Really Here.
The one with Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah, which is a really dark, twisted movie.
Yeah.
Fantastically made. He's brilliant in it.
Yeah, it didn't look fun.
Pretty shocking.
Yeah, yeah.
Not one for the family.
No. Not one for Mother's Day.
No, but good late night. Good late night stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen The Shape of Water?
I haven't seen that, though. Have you seen it?
Whatever shape, it's the shape of what's underneath it with a flat top.
Right.
That's the shape of water.
Is it... have you seen the film, though?
No.
Right.
But I've seen Splash.
Right.
And Paddington.
Right.
Yeah. And I think if you've seen both of those, you can get a rough idea.
It, yeah.
Yeah. Is that wrong?
Yeah.
Do you know, I really...
Some films you just don't want to... That is a film... That I just know I'm not going to go and see
just
Shape
not bothered.
Of Water. Isn't that weird? Everyone says go and see it. I just know I'm not going to.
And also, in the run-up to the Oscars, I always want to see them all, get an idea of them all.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you see one and you think, oh, I love that. And that'll do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the opposite. I saw Get Out.
Yes.
And I thought, oh, yeah, that'll do me.
That was a brilliant film.
Yeah,
wasn't
and
it?
So entertaining. It's got that wonderful Hollywood-y... It also works on the level of pure, solid entertainment.
Yeah, consistently surprising, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
Without ever
really
showing
smart,
it.
Yeah.
Without ever showing off about it.
Yeah.
Which I love. But you know what? It felt like a bit of a lackluster Oscars, like a kind of, you know, in the shadow of Weinstein. And
yes,
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, even the right-onness of the Oscars was slightly thrown off because they tend to do that... Incredibly broad strokesly.
Yes.
It's healthy, you know.
Yeah.
The women's Oscars, the black Oscars, whatever.
Yeah.
And this year there was people being kind of bleakly political about Trump.
Right.
Strongly political about women, but also trying to be positive and move forward.
Yes.
Which is more complicated. And being very strong about Mexico.
Yes.
Trans issues. You know, so they couldn't kind of put it all in one
place. Just a big miasma of concerns.
Yeah.
He was also coming after the Golden Globes, wasn't it? Which was a massive kind of Time's Up Me Too fest.
That's right. That's why the
so
women's
people were coming off it a little
bit gentler and a bit kind of let's go forward now, you know.
Yeah.
And but you know what? That's what gave me, and also just none of the films were all great. They all look good. Well, actually, you know, Three Billboards.
Yeah.
Was slightly.
Have you seen that film?
Yes. And I thought it was overrated. It was good, but it was flawed.
I'm glad that we can talk about this because I thought. It was great that it was consistently surprising.
Yes.
But it was weird because some of the stuff you just didn't buy.
Yeah, that's right.
With the characters. You just thought, This is weird. How come this policeman who threw a bloke out of a building is still walking the streets? Why? How come he's forgiven Franz McCormann's character so quickly after burning him? Do you know what I mean?
Just just didn't
there's
really
a lot
play.
Of big leaps, wasn't there?
That's right. And little things like, why? Frances McDormand was great and she won the Oscar. But she upstaged her own character, you know?
Yeah.
Why was she like that? Yeah. She didn't earn what her character. And the fact that she was wandering around being a badass in a boiler suit, it's like,
yeah.
Where'd she get a boiler suit? She works in the shop.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
all a bit kind of...
That scene where she kicked a young girl in the crotch and...
Yeah.
Just a bit much, really.
It's funny, isn't it? It's a cheap laugh, but does the character justify it?
Yeah.
I think that... another comedian I was talking to about it said... was talking about Martin McDonagh coming from plays.
Yeah.
And that's what it felt like. It felt like a film in service of acting and drama. And in films, really, all the acting and drama should always be in service of the story.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there was something that wasn't quite right about it.
Yeah. So that's it. Three billboards.
We've done it.
Outside Ebbing, Missouri.
That's it, we've done it now.
Yeah, take it away if you haven't seen it. Plot spoiler! So, but having said all that, that was the thing about the Oscars. I feel like I know my way around these Oscars, you know.
Right.
And then I heard the news in the morning, and so I knew who'd won everything and everything. And then I watched the ceremony with the family. We all watched it together.
Yeah.
Oh, I loved it.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah, he's good.
Yes.
Like you were saying, after the Golden Globes, you know, it could be argued that this is the time for a woman to host the Oscars.
Yes.
But that also... gives people who have a whiff of misogyny the opportunity to kind of to resist it, you know.
Have a bit of a moan, yeah.
He's
yeah.
so low-key and kind of straight and just like, this is what we should all be doing, you know.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And he brings positivity in such a offhand, apparently cynical way. I really like him a lot.
Yeah, I heard he was really
and
good.
He's funny, good jokes.
Yeah.
And the other thing he did, it was really celebrating 90 years. You know, they did a compilation of just clips from Oscar-winning films, kind of themed in different ways through a little montage.
Right.
And, you know, I was crying.
Yeah.
My son turned around and said, I want that. I want that on my phone.
Yeah,
he said, and I quote, he said, that was really lifting.
Yeah.
And it was, you know.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
It's going to get me up this hill. So, looking to do a bit of the old hill running.
Yes.
Because again, it's different. Getting back to training, you want different things, don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Got to get the miles in you. It sounds like a cliche, but I feel like I'm only putting together now, actively making my training three-dimensional: fast, slow, short, long.
Yeah.
Up and down, flat, and so on. Really, you want to make it harder and harder for the event on the day to surprise you.
Yeah, you want to earn that taper, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the chunk. This is the month.
Yeah.
To earn your taper for London.
Yeah.
What are we? It's a great feeling. You what, mate?
We 5 weeks away on Sunday.
About 5 weeks, yeah. But it's and it's great. And I only say this as someone who rarely does. To really earn your taper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you can feel the strength you've got building up.
Yes.
As you wait for the race. It's a brilliant feeling.
Absolutely. Now, I remember that. I remember getting on stage at my last gig. It's also a kind of a fake feeling, you know, like back in the old days when I first used to run.
Yeah.
I used to, in the afternoon, I just think, I feel great. This is how I feel now.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's a little bubble after your run.
Yes, yeah.
You don't feel like that evening, let alone the day after. Yeah. But the taper is like a giant version of that, isn't it?
Yeah. Because, I mean, normally I'd reach a stage where I'd have to kind of train through the taper or, do you know what I mean? Still, I'm not quite fit enough yet.
Yeah.
But to do all that eating and chilling and just... Yeah. Getting ready is nice.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I feel like you say, this is the chunk. I'm really trying to stay with it and get the miles up and stuff and not get injured, but not...
Keep stretching.
Yeah, exactly. But and keep pushing.
Yeah.
Do you know what film I watched the other day?
Go on then.
I put up a picture as a result. I watched The Odd Couple.
All right.
I think that we should maybe play those guys in the West End.
Yeah. The running commentary version. The Odd Couple.
But there was a character in that, in Jack Lemmon at one point says, I've got bursitis.
Yeah.
Fred Willard, is that name? In Best in Show. We watched Best in Show because Crufts was on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There was a protest at Crufts, wasn't there?
There was a protest, yeah. People running on. I've really got to get my kids to watch Best in Show because it's so funny, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
The kids bit love of work. It. They're brilliantly the uptight characters, so uptight.
Yes, yeah.
My daughter can't handle it. It's really good watching it. She's like, oh, this is annoying me so much.
When he sleeps in the... when they put them in the closet to sleep.
Yeah.
So funny showing them the room and stuff. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's really good.
He's got two left feet, hasn't he?
Yeah, literally.
Very funny.
And yeah, but bursitis, people keep talking about bursitis. But you see, my foot, it only hurts when I'm not running.
Right.
So that's okay.
So it's not hurting now, for instance?
No. Nope.
Right.
It will later.
That's a shame.
And I feel good. This run's going to be good. But yeah, I remember being on stage at my last gig before the marathon last year.
Yeah.
And just thinking, I wish I had the... strength of will to feel this good all the time, you know?
Yeah.
To be trained,
yes.
Poised, tapered, well fed, but, you know, not carrying any extra weight off food need, you know, unhealthy, you know, whatever it might be. I just got up to the mic and thought, yeah, this is good. But of course, you don't feel like that all the time. It's always a juggle.
No, it's a great feeling to be as fit as you can be, isn't it?
Yeah.
It happens quite rarely in my life. When I feel myself approaching that state, it is lovely.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
There's a purity about it, isn't there?
Yeah.
Simplicity.
Simple, isn't it?
And that's what an event gives you.
Absolutely, yeah. It gives you that deadline.
Yeah.
I mean, if we could do that without doing events.
Yeah.
Mind you, you'd miss out, wouldn't you? I mean, it's easy.
Yeah, you'd miss out on the event.
Say that, but
yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. In fact, someone got in touch and said, have you considered the Coventry half marathon?
Yeah.
Having missed out on Bath.
When is that?
It's on Sunday.
Right.
I did cross my mind to get in there. It's still got places.
It's a bit early for me in terms of fitness.
Yeah,
really.
I think the main thing is I'm going away for the weekend with my wife.
All right, okay.
And if I said to her,
yeah.
Oh, by the way,
yeah,
Sunday morning,
just nipping off to Coventry.
We're going to Coventry.
So you're taking the weekend off gigging, are you?
I think she might send me to Coventry.
Yeah,
No, I'm in Nottingham.
Right.
She's coming with me.
Cool.
To the Glee.
Nice, nice.
The Glee.
Good
club.
That's
why they call it that. Yeah. But sometimes, you know, the comedy, sometimes it does feel like something that we need to just hand on to these youngsters.
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I know it's a dark thought, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, you can feel them chasing you, can't you?
Yes, that's right.
Well, they did gig in hot water in Liverpool, which is lovely.
Yeah.
Nice gig. I did three for them on Friday, lovely.
Yeah.
Then just one on a Saturday, compared by the local comic. I think we talked about him before, called Paul Smith.
Yeah.
Lovely, absolute local hero.
Yeah.
So he's on stage, and they're absolutely loving him, just the local references. The Scousers, they love their own. They
yeah,
just
yeah,
love
yeah.
it.
They're enjoying then, being Scouse.
Yeah, and then they're bringing,
good way.
He's bringing you on. And he goes, now we've got like three of the best comics in the country. And then there'd be people go, no, you're the best comic in the country. You're the best. Literally just before they're about to go,
yeah.
We're here to see you, mate. We follow you on Facebook. He's just a big Scouse loving.
Yeah, yeah.
And then now some old bloke from Yorkshire. He's just, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You feel you're crashing something sometimes.
Have
you're crashing
you,
a party.
I'm really sorry if I'm telling this story again, listeners, but I remember doing a gig at Edinburgh University like that, and a young comedian hosting, and you know what's nice is this is years ago, he's not young anymore either,
right? Yeah,
but he was then,
yeah,
and he was on the up and up, and it was very improv-y and very good looking and very charismatic. And he went on, and there was all this stuff in the wings,
right,
in this theatre, and he got it all out,
oh, right,
and improvised the game show with the audience. He did like a 15 minute game show where he got these two people out of the audience and got the one to ask the other one out or something like that. I can't remember.
Isn't it great to witness that kind of creativity in action just before you're going to come on?
Exactly.
Isn't it inspiring?
It's so churlish, but yeah, like, oh, yeah.
No, but
it's just going to be no
so annoying
performance energy left in this room.
Yeah, yeah,
and sure enough, I mean, he literally wrapped it up, tore the roof off with it,
yeah,
and then He kind of said, you know, like, calm down, everyone.
Settle yourself now. We've had the good stuff.
He cleared all the things away.
Yes.
So, you know, it's like a visual metaphor. He'd actually emptied the stage.
All the fun's going. Yeah.
And then, so I did... The only way I could communicate my situation to the audience was I opened my set, I took a broom on.
Right.
Just came on and just swept the stage quietly.
That's funny, yeah.
But they're never going to... You've got to see it from the audience's point of view. You can't. They're not going to say, don't over-entertain us.
Of course not. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, and every gig's winnable. There's a laughs everywhere. And right. I had a good gig in Liverpool, but it's just funny that...
No, you're the best. Don't go.
We literally
resist. Don't go. We don't want to see Paul.
We don't want anyone else.
But you.
We choose to not like him.
You
ahead of even his arrival.
You are us and we are you and we are one. Who is this stranger you're introducing?
Ah, sitting on a cornflake.
Goo-goo-ga-choo.
We're of the same generation.
Who's this old guy?
Look at his face.
Look at his face. Look at the laughter lines.
Oh, yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah.
But it is. It's a
challenge.
You know, we start out in comedy saying, say yes to all the gigs. It's never the audience's fault.
Yeah.
And out we go.
Yeah.
And then, in the end, sometimes, it's like the two running voices. It's, you know, at the gig, you can smash it and you can win it, but when you're looking at your diary, you just sometimes think, oh, God.
Oh, God. Here we go. Oh, God.
I had that on there.
I don't want to be here either.
Saturday, the audience were very resistant to at least one of the other acts. And then, you know, I had a good gig. I knew how to have a great time with them. I slightly resented myself for it.
Right.
It's like they rejected the slightly more challenging younger act in the middle. And he was good.
Yes, yeah.
I'm on his side, not theirs.
Yeah.
So, complicated.
Yeah, it is complicated.
It's a very complicated emotional journey.
Between the audience and performer.
Yeah, it's a dialogue.
Self-reflective mirroring image of the audience.
So, where's your next gig?
I've got a corporate on Friday.
Nice.
Educational Resources Awards.
You're allowed to do all your old jokes there.
Yes, Chris has sent me all the script for the presentation.
This is that
keen to receive my notes. I immediately emailed back and said, yeah, it looks great, without having a look at it. I don't want to spend... He's going to be fine.
Well, you've got to watch his... We talked about this last time. It's them saying, you should joke about this. They'll love that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you do, and they don't know
nothing,
what you're
nothing at all,
about.
Yeah.
rip into Terry at the front. He loves his bang up for it.
They would nothing, like nothing
complaints.
More for you to... Ian Baldwin was once late to the golf course.
Yeah, mention that.
Call on that.
Everyone knows him.
Oh.
So, anyone know Ian Baldwin?
Nothing.
Fee withheld. Multiple complaints.
He started bullying a stranger.
Bullying at work. The comedian immediately started to insult
a man we don't know.
Octogenarian.
Yeah, we found it afterwards.
I did a gig once at the National Pest Awards. Great gig.
Pest?
Yeah.
Scream if you want to go to the National Pest Awards. Yeah.
And they said, and some bloke said, oh, make sure you mention... take the mickey out of, you know, Charlie or whatever
his name is.
So I went on, did it.
Go get me and you in front of this road close, carry on.
I went on and did it. Started talking about this bloke, Charlie.
Yeah, at the National Pest Awards.
He died 2 weeks earlier.
Oh, my word!
And everyone knew him, was just really sad
about
it.
Like a close friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
God, just like
massive
set
in the,
you up.
Massive in the community, yeah. Thanks for that, mate.
Oh.
Cheers. That's a good opener. Oh, well, listen, nice run. I'm still not quite back yet, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but you do. I think that.
I really enjoyed it.
I also think that these guys will agree with me that we can just hear your mojo a bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You sound better.
I'm feeling
good. And
yeah.
And that was.
That was a cozy five.
That's five. That's five. We just tipped over five. So
right.
Bang on. Very
we
nice.
We can do that, yeah.
We should do it again.
Woo!
What are you saying? I should carry on running back to my house now.
That's the thing to do, isn't it? That's the long way around. Isn't it? That's a long way around.
You're right. It's supposed to be a 40-mile walk, so I totally should do that. I'm going to do that.
So get in touch on Facebook. Tell us what you're doing, where you're at in your block of training.
Everyone's training like good, and so
really
it's really good
it.
To hear it. And we're,
it's inspiring.
We're always interested. And if you're doing the London Marathon, good luck these last few weeks. If you're doing one of those ones, a lot of people are doing Manchester.
Manchester's
that's earlier.
Very,
Brighton's
very
earlier.
Shortly, isn't it?
So, but everyone we've spoken to sounds ready. So stay with it. We know you've got this. It's going to be good.
And the weather's clearing. The beast of the east has subsided.
Spring is coming.
Yes.
It's muddy out there, but that's part of the training. Enjoy it. The birds are singing.
You're putting your hard yards over the winter.
Yeah. Oh, and there's two. As we say this, there's two magpies in those trees just there. Oh, two for joy, guys. Yeah, you hold to the cameras if I'm going to. You can't see them. They've gone. Two for joy. See you on Twitter. See you on the roads.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.